Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Just here for the marital advice.
There's Caitlin there. And of course we got producer Casey behind the board.
Oh, good morning.
Don't put it down too low.
That's a natural dip in the song. Okay. Right. It's a natural low. Okay. There's only, you see, sound is a box, and there's only so much room in the box, right? So when you add more elements of sound inside the box, the things already in the box have to come down a little.
I wonder how many times she just said the word box.
I don't know, but it's still a little bit too low. Well, anyway, guys, good morning. This is Sean Roberts, and I am. We are your weekly dose. We are. I am. You are. They are. Who the hell cares? We're on the air. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, made it.
We thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to your weekly dose, this program is about having fun. We recap your past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right, guys. Laughing at all the things we experience in everyday life. Like, you know, just what we did right now to each other. The embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but we still do.
Oh, you know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
Damn right it is. And to all of our listeners, old and new, we love it when you guys are a part of the show. Enjoy the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send us a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And we got a pretty big show for you guys today. We've got a lot of things we'll be doing, some catching up. We got Beer O'Clock with listeners Mike and Kay at 10:20. We got horoscopes today. Then at 45 past the hour, we've definitely got sports with Oz Davis. And then not real words, but they should be. It's also National Dentist Day today, so we call in a few dentists to wish them a happy dentist day. And we might sneak in
dentists.
I know.
I thought it said tennis player.
Yeah. I was thinking, oh, what tournament is on? I haven't been keeping up.
I know.
And if we get time, which I doubt we do, but we may do a quiz me, quiz you, we might just say screw it and just end the show. Who knows? We don't know what the hell we're doing today.
And remember, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go and you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify, just search for Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
And if you're chair dancing like Caitlin is, because she's loving it right now, today's theme is Cuts Like a Knife, the unplugged version by Brian Adams for National Unplugged Day. That's right. It's actually talking about saving electricity, unplug all the things you don't use. So we figured, hey, we're going to do a spin on it. So that's what we did. And as always, guys, make sure that as you go to our website, use our Amazon banner because that way we get the chance to stay on the air because you can buy all the music that we use here on Amazon.
Guess what? I bought cones.
You did?
And I used it from the Amazon banner.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow, we're going to get another 5 cents. Awesome. I love it.
I spent $80 on cones.
Oh, in that case, we're going to get 20 cents.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
I like to
wow. Cones.
Cones.
If I have trouble with my enunciation today, I'm a little nasally. I've had a cold.
No.
Oh my god, dude. It has just been slapping me in the ass.
Tennis? Yeah. Dentist? Tennis?
Yeah, exactly. Dennis tennis. Yeah.
Toy boat.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, thank you.
I was just making noises.
I know, and you haven't had coffee today. What did you have this morning?
I had decaf.
Yeah, uh-oh.
It ain't working.
Keep her away from that.
It ain't working. I think just any coffee that you have.
It's like a placebo. It works anyway.
No matter what.
She's got a caffeine gland.
She's got caffeine.
It just releases more caffeine occasionally.
Yeah. Well, guys, listen, hey, if you guys enjoy the show, remember to tell a friend about us because you know what? We can't grow this podcast without you guys. So make sure you tell all your friends and family about us if you're enjoying it. If not, then just pass us by like everybody else does. No problem. Yeah. Aww.
Aww.
That's okay. We don't mind, though.
We do mind.
Oh.
We're doing good.
We got this, guys.
Should we catch up?
Bam, 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 bam.
I'll take that as a yes. No, Austin's getting into it.
That was such a great show.
It was.
That was really good. That was Billy Crystal's breakup.
Yeah. Now, what character did Billy Crystal play? Do you remember?
I don't remember the name, no.
Jody Dallas.
Oh.
Jody Dallas.
And he was also the first gay character on television.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
And they also had the first ventriloquist character.
No. Yes.
Yeah. Chuck and Bob.
Chuck and Bob.
Yeah, when Benson throws Bob out the window, it's like, it was insane. It was insane, yeah. Oh, I love that show.
And the girls are just going, those old fogies in the corner, they're talking again.
That's from the 20th century.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and start with Steve. Buddy, how was your week?
Well, because of what I usually do all week, my week was great. I had a couple of things I want to read that I wrote when I was under the influence, shall we say.
Uh-huh.
That I look at and go,
huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one of them, actually, I don't know, it might be a good idea. I mean, I guess I was thinking about... healthcare with the COVID and everything like that, and how everybody needs a cheaper way to do things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in that case, hold on. Let me do this then. Okay, that's my cheaper way of doing things.
I do like that sound.
It's a great sound.
Okay, so you can go to the pharmacy or the doctor and get tested for COVID, but they have home versions of this.
Yes, they do.
You don't need to go to a doctor, find out if you're pregnant. They have a home version of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought,
oh no,
here we need a home colonoscopy kit.
Oh God,
that you access online, and the thing is, the instructions say you need two friends to help you.
Wow. I was going to say, they have these, like, they have douches at the store, and they have diagrams on how to use them.
Yeah, well, so, you know.
Why do they call it douche a douche?
It could work. It could
because
really...
douche means to shower in French. Douche.
Oh, I thought because it was a sound it makes.
Hilarious.
Okay, and then...
squeeze the bottle.
Oh, here's another one. I don't know why it says this, but, Cookie Monster finds a big plate of... pot cookies.
Edibles, uh-huh.
And suddenly he's all high and he's back there leaning against the wall going, Jim Henson, I can see you. You know, that kind of...
That's really funny because Jim Henson's dead, but okay.
That's the whole
I like it though.
When you're anyway, my big idea this week. There's my big idea this week.
Okay, let's
go. No, I don't want to.
Glad you're coming in from down on us. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoying it? Yeah.
This is great.
Yep.
This is great.
This is great. Great stuff, man.
I'd like to owner a owner.
You like to owner? I love to owner too.
Well,
I hardly know her.
Open. The word is open. I'm looking for. Wow. I'd like to open a rehab treatment center for non-recovering sex addicts who failed to fulfill their obligations needed to achieve full recovery. And they're going to call it Caligula's Bazaar.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
And the crickets are where?
Oh, yeah.
And back to you, Bob.
Yeah.
Wait, hon.
You didn't guess for that one.
They were confused before they could say anything.
Caligula's Bazaar.
They even had to decide if they were going to be triggered, you know? Was that it? That was the end of it?
That was my week.
All right.
Yeah.
Three high thoughts.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Probably, yeah. Plus, I watched...
Three high thoughts.
What
the
movie
did
I
watch? All week long.
I watch movies on TV. Tubi TV.
Cue on some high by whatever
all right.
The guy is.
Yeah, I love it.
So, yeah. Okay, moving on. Who's next?
All right, let's go down the line. How was your week, bud?
Oh, fine. You know, nothing interesting to report. I've been knocking down all the Oscar movies. I've been trying to
cool.
watch all the,
nice.
The best pictures.
Nice.
Kind of a, let's say mixed bag. Let's be charitable and say mixed bag.
It really has been, yeah.
Yeah, nothing really like that blows you away. Nothing like really terrible except for Don't Look Up, which I know is an unpopular opinion. But
I still have to finish watching it. I started to watch it,
yeah,
whatever.
I never watched it.
It's interesting.
The ending is bizarre.
Is it really?
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Don't tell me. I gotta.
Oh, I watched it.
Bizarre ending. Really interesting ending.
cool.
Not much for me. Yeah. I didn't even have three deep high thoughts.
Caitlin, how about you, sweetie? How was your week?
Good. It's been crazy busy, but it's also the first week where I only have three jobs now instead of four. So.
Oh, wonderful. Good. You're starting to settle
time.
Back a little bit. Yeah.
I know.
Calm down a little bit.
Or one is just taking over more time.
True.
Well, I mean, literally the time that I'm not spending on my job, I'm spending on schoolwork. So.
See? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But then, as you two know, because you'll be on set, there's your first day of filming today. This is actually, it's been a year to get to this point. So
really,
yeah, it's taken a year to get here, which is super. So it's super exciting, and I'm super happy.
Very cool. And we'll actually be shooting at a bar locally here in Orange County.
Yeah, we'll be. Well, I don't want to.
Can we say it or no?
Not currently.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but eventually. Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just right now we can't.
Okay.
Just because I don't want to say, you know, where we're filming, like location. Yeah. Just. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Not right now, but later.
Yeah, because you know we don't want any spectators to come down.
Well, I don't know. Confidentiality. Yeah. I signed one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over at the party. Gotcha. Okay. I gotcha.
But it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yeah. It's a bar in Orange County. That's all we can say.
Yeah, it's in Orange County.
Yeah. We can say that it's on the corner of this street and that street.
There we go.
Yeah.
Orange County. Yeah. We're actually going to be filming all throughout Southern California, pretty much. Like,
nice.
L.A., Orange County, different areas, but yeah. I'm super excited.
Cool. I'm excited. All right. Casey, how was your week?
Pretty busy as well, actually. Between this project picking up for Caitlin here and, you know, my jobs, and I'm trying to start a production house as well. So it's been a lot of research. It's been a lot of, like, thinking I'm going in the right direction and then realizing there's certain requirements that I need to start that direction. So I, like, fork off to the right to try and think about those requirements.
Yeah. I feel that.
I'm like, where is the list for, like, the beginning?
Right? Yeah.
No one's telling you to fork off, though, right?
Well, it's just like
you're
I'll
forking
run in.
Off. On
no,
your own.
No, I'll come upon something.
I think it took you.
That took a moment. That took a moment.
Too long.
Maybe Sean should have done it.
Too long.
You know, with his temporary
I expect
speech
it
impediment
from him. You know?
I think you need this more than I do right now.
Yeah, right. She needs the caffeine, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I initially was starting at a trademark, and then I was realizing that in order to have a trademark, you actually should have, like, your LLC or your S-Corp set up first, and so then I'm going to there, and then it's like, oh, yeah, but you have to have these things established before you can even apply for an LLC or an S-Corp, depending on which ones you want. So I'm like,
like your DBA?
Yeah, yeah. It's like my business plan I thought could start here, but I'm, like, backtracking, like, 12 steps and realizing that's exactly where the business actually starts.
Right. Yeah. See, my theory is that they make you jump through all these hoops just to make sure you really want to do this. Yeah. Because you got to do, like, a ton of stuff before you get to the fun stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're still trying to create some stuff, too, on the side that we can still just put out on our YouTube channel and stuff. So we're trying to not let it stop the motion of the group. And
right.
Yeah, but...
Sorry.
What?
No, sorry. I just wanted to make sure on this one. I don't know if it's...
Oh.
Yeah.
It's so interrupting. It ends the whole vibe. No,
intermission.
No.
I know.
No.
I don't like it. I'm done.
All right. Cool.
She quits?
She quits.
Wow. Cool.
She's done. She's done for the day. Well, for me, all I did was catch a cold and play drums. So cold kind of... Sure, that's all I did. That's all I did. I've got... Every time I felt pretty decent or whatever, I just went out to the garage and practiced the songs I needed to practice. And then... And then the rest of the time just felt miserable. My nose has just been clogged all freaking week long and everything. And I was just hoping it was just going to go away after one night, but it didn't. So I've been getting down some NyQuil almost every 4 hours. And oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then chasing it with Alka-Seltzer plus cold medicine.
Yeah, every time in the past that I really needed to sleep, I would take some NyQuil just before going to bed and... It would relax me just enough. I get some really good sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why I'm kind of like the way I am right now. It's like, but the rest of my body's fine. It's just everything is all up in my nasal cavity and everything. So I'm just like oh, the pressure and everything now and then too. So, well, I know this song.
Oh my, we haven't heard this for a while.
Yes,
this is exciting.
Oh my God, yes.
Just a cold beer drinker.
I like how Casey just like quiets Sean with music.
Oh, I love it. It's awesome. That's a good producer. And it's a great segue too. Of course, on the phone right now, we have one of our two favorite listeners, Mike and Kay. How are you guys?
Great.
We're doing great. Sean, I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling too well today.
It's just the nose. The nose is the only thing bothering me, but everything else is fine. I got to say, I miss you guys.
We all do.
We miss all of you as well, especially since I've been catching up on shows over the last week or so.
Awesome. You know, and I need to apologize to you guys, too, because I've been talking about getting out there on a Sunday and everything. But the thing is that one of my bands, we rehearse every Sunday. So it's been hard for me to get out there to see you guys. So I just wanted to apologize. You know, not think I'm a flake or anything like that. So, but I
guess that's okay. And one of the things we're going to do is we've got to get out and see you play one of these times live. So, so we'll make a deal. You come out here and we'll go out there in whichever order it works.
You got it, man. Well, you know what? I've got two bands. So I'm playing guitar for one and drumming for the other. So eventually we'll get out to you guys at some point in time.
That's great.
So on that, how have you guys been? Because we haven't talked to you guys for quite some time.
Yeah, no, we've been great. You know, same old, keeping busy. Our oldest is nearing his wedding date. Our first one getting married. So
wow.
Exciting, you know, hearing about that and being a little bit involved. We just had a call with him about a half hour ago. So that's been kind of fun. And then other than that, just, you know, keeping busy with Kay's doing another beer. So I'm sure we'll talk about that.
That's what I miss.
And and then, you know, trying to keep the puppy from wearing us out too much.
So. How is that puppy doing?
Oh, let me tell you, I have other choice words for her this morning because she got up several times during the night last night, but she is adorable.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have some of our sons were home and their girlfriends, and she kept letting me know throughout the night that they were there.
Love her
dearly.
Yeah, Charlie. She's we always tell you her nickname is Troublemaker, and she definitely is.
It's better than caca mouth.
So true.
Yeah, you know, I just heard that the other day. I just listened to that show, and she has done that herself occasionally. Whoa. But not enough to give her that nickname. So, I do want to, before I forget, I do want to say, yes, I know, Sean, I texted you, but happy 5th year anniversary on the show, guys. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. And I'm glad you guys are a part of this show, too. You know, you guys just not just became listeners, but you guys became part of the show as well. You know, and I'm so glad that you guys are a part of it, too, because you guys definitely add to it as well.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, and I brag to people that I get to be part of a cool, famous podcast.
As you should.
Yeah, and we talk about you guys all the time. So.
Nice. And and now you guys can talk about the 500 listeners that we have in Indiana.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's
great.
Awesome.
That's wonderful. And hey, Oz, by the way, it's nice to formally meet you kind of over the phone.
Yeah, nice to quote-unquote meet you two.
Hey, and I've got to say one thing to Caitlin. So I, for years, have listened to podcasts and books on tape on my drive to work and back. And because I want to fit as many in as I can, I listen to them on a 1.25, 1.5 speed. And that has worked
going.
Really well until Caitlin has her few cups of coffee. Sounds like a chipmunk.
Oh, I knew.
So basically, you've been listening to Alvin and the Chipmunk Show.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta slow it down whenever she's talking, so I can.
What's funny is I pretty much talk fast no matter what, but with coffee, it just goes up more.
Yeah. It's a new language when she has coffee. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I understand you completely. When I started teaching, I drank 6-7 cups of coffee a day, and I rattled so fast.
Wow. Jeez. 6-7 cups a day, Kay? Mm.
Yes, isn't because my pot? Room was right next to the teacher's lounge.
Oh.
And we had really good gourmet coffee in the teacher's lounge in Minneapolis when I started.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I got so addicted to caffeine.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, I know that story well.
Hey, are we coming through okay? Because I hear an echo.
No, you guys are coming through fine.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, good. All right.
All righty. Well, you know, for our listeners who haven't heard you guys before and everything, once again, this is Mike and Kay. And what's nice about this couple is that Kay, basically, she makes her own homebrew beers, basically, is what it is. And her husband, Mike, drinks it, which is awesome.
What a great partnership.
Yeah. It's a wonderful partnership.
Symbiotic relationship.
It is. I need somebody to go through the wares a little faster so I can make the next batch.
It's the reason I have to run marathons so I can keep up.
Yeah, and the reason why that Steve and I still need to get out there, or even I need to get out there to try some of these beers, because she makes some fabulous beers. And so we have them on also every once in a while to tell us about different beers that are out there at your local stores and stuff like that you guys might want to try out. So what beers did you bring us today, guys?
Yeah, so, you know, in the spirit of St. Paddy's Day coming up here on March 17th, we went ahead and decided to we've got three stouts laid out in front of us right now. And we broke them out at about 9:30 this morning. So I was finishing off my morning coffee and starting my morning beers because we never like to report to you without actually having proof in our mouths. So, you know,
they are givers and they give till it hurts.
Yeah, of course. And so I'll go through it real quick. I thought it'd be fun to share a couple of St. Paddy's Day facts that, you know, maybe people know, maybe they don't.
Sure.
And the first one, and you guys on the show from about a year or so ago ought to know, because this was a trivia question.
Oh, no.
That St. Patrick, the person who they think actually kind of is responsible for is St. Patrick, was actually born in Britain. Mm-hmm. And he was kidnapped by Irish raiders when he was about 16 years old. And so that I thought was kind of a fun fact.
Wow.
And something a lot of people, I think, don't know is the original color of St. Paddy's Day was blue.
What?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And over the course of time, it changed to green or shifted to green because of the nickname of Ireland as the Emerald Isle and also the green and the flag and those kinds of things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the four clovers represent hope, faith, love, and luck. And the odds of finding one are 1 in 10,000. Yeah. So anybody in the room ever found a four-leaf clover?
Nope.
Yeah, I have a friend that finds many of them, actually.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well,
He's pretty lucky.
That person ought to buy a lottery ticket, that's for sure.
Yeah, she does. She seems to find them, and she's always showing them off, too. She's like, look, this one's got four. I'm like, you're gluing those on.
Nice. Well, getting into the subject of the day, it is a fact. Beer is the most widely consumed beverage on St. Patrick's Day. And I don't know if that's, obviously that's not compared to water. I'm sure that's a purchase.
Oh, yeah, for yeah. sure.
But I bet you that's close. So when we were in in the room one time, I think it's going on 2 or 3 years ago, we actually celebrated St. Patty's Day with you guys. It was one of the shows.
Yeah, you were here for a drunk show. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And we brought some stouts, and we brought some reds, and we brought a couple of other things.
So good, too.
Yeah. And so what we decided to do is, because stouts are so prevalently thought of and drank during St. Patrick's Day, we're just talking about three stouts today.
Okay.
And we know you guys love stouts, so we'll describe a few of these. So the first one, and probably one of the more accessible ones, is made by a brewery called Goose Island, okay? And Goose Island they're kind of famous for, and they claim that they created the first bourbon barrel-aged stouts.
Ooh,
yes.
And so you can find those at pretty much any mainstream liquor store. You can find them often at your local hole-in-the-wall liquor store if they have a craft beer section. And they're not cheap, but they're really good. So just consider like you're buying a small bottle of wine.
Got it.
It
okay.
is amazing.
You've tried it.
I've had this. It's
yeah,
amazing.
You know Oz? Yeah. And so the one we've got in front of us this morning is the Cherry Wood Stout.
Ooh. Cherry Wood. Okay.
Ooh, I haven't had
yeah. that. And it's pretty simple. It's bourbon barrel aged, and then it's finished on cherry wood stems. And
nice.
So what you end up getting is you get this kind of almost a molasses feel to it. You get a little bit of toffee in the background. You do get the feeling of ripe cherries. You know, ripe cherries can be a little bit more robust or pungent than standard cherries. You get a very light bit of coffeeiness, which is kind of hard to avoid in stouts. It's in most stouts. And you get kind of a roasty overall, and Kay really described it well, a boozy feeling from the bourbon.
Mm-hmm. That is such an interesting mixture, though.
Yeah. It's good.
It is. And
that sounds so
yeah.
good.
I mean, to me, it almost sounds like a Dr. Pepper on steroids almost.
You know what, Sean? That is a really, really good example of what, something that you could compare to it. Because it would remind you of that. You just get that kind of boozy feeling in the end. So that's a good one. I'll give you points on that for coming, pulling that out of the air. So.
And this is Goose Island Brewing, right?
Yeah, this is Goose Island, yeah.
So did you guys know that they are owned by Anheuser-Busch?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I know that a lot of these breweries are started out small, and then they were bought by the big guys because the big guys need to compete. And I'm connected to just thousands of beer people on Instagram, and I see some posts where they say, oh my gosh, that's not a microbrewery and all this stuff. And I always say to them, screw you, I drink what I want to drink because I like the taste of it. It's just a big conglomerate like that.
Sort of like how they own Budweiser now too, and that tries to brag about being an American brand, and now they're owned by a not American company.
Well, I read some pretty good interesting articles on that. The Anheuser-Busch's and the Coors and all those people of the world, for a while they were trying to create their own version of these brews. They were saying, we're going to make our own little microbrew, and everybody knew that's not what it was. So they realized that the only way they could compete in this market is to actually buy some of these breweries that were pretty popular. And so I think we'll see that more and more. These breweries that we're all in love with for years, as they grow, they're going to be bought up. And all I care about is, are they giving me good stuff? So,
well, are they keeping consistent with their product?
Yeah.
Does it taste like craft brew that it started with.
Yeah, so
one of my all-time favorites, look
for that one. You know, Steve, I know you really like the Belching Beaver peanut butter stout that we I think introduced you to several years ago.
That's a good one.
Since you're a stout you know, I think you're a stout fan, I think you would like some of these Goose Island bourbon brews.
Oh, yeah, give that a try.
Yeah, try them out. The next one on the list, the next one we have is it's the Dark Ages Barrel Series made by a brewery that is called Tahoe Mountain Brewing. And the difference there is, yeah, they're using Kentucky bourbon in their brewing process, but they're also aging them in cognac barrels.
Yeah.
And so... So you get the bourbony stout feel to it, but it's got a bit of a sharpness based on the cognac, and you can really feel that or taste it on you know, it's a tongue feel as you're drinking the beer. It's funny to say, but it Kay and I both kind of thought it felt a little bit like a combination of thick or viscous but light at the same time. It's really strange. It's got almost a flowery lightness to it, not boozy at all, but really rich in flavor.
It's much lighter than you would expect a stout to be.
Interesting. Okay.
And what was the brewing company?
The brewing company on that one is Tahoe Mountain Brewing. And you know, again, what you'll find is some of these breweries have become big enough that they are sold in various liquor stores where they have a section of what they call craft brews. And, you know, Casey's right. The craft brew section will have true craft beers in it, and then a few that are owned by bigger companies because they've just, you know, become so successful. And so you have to pick and choose and you know, maybe keep a list of what you like and what you don't like. And this one's pretty good. It's the first time, I think, that I've had a beer by this brewery. It sounded very interesting to me, and it turned out to be pretty good.
Awesome. Awesome.
And then the last one that we wanted to talk about, we like to advertise our friends on this on the podcast whenever we can.
Absolutely.
And so our friends at Solario Brewing that we've talked about a couple times, and I think we've even brought some of their beers in the past. They're a local craft brewery that is owned by a husband and wife started about, what, maybe 4 years ago, four or five years ago. They're wonderful, wonderful people. They spend, you know, all of their time, you know, running this small little craft brewery, and they make a wonderful strawberry chocolate stout.
Oh my.
And they made it as a stout, and they made it as a porter. Right now I think they have the porter, and we have had the stout in the recent past, and so maybe what we'll try to do is go by there this weekend and grab a couple of cans of that and send it your way so you guys can try them out. The nice thing about their stouts is they're very smooth. They're not over flavored in any way. So it's not like you're drinking a super sweet strawberry stout. You're drinking a stout that might remind you of a Guinness that's got a nice refreshing strawberry taste, a little bit of chocolate and a nice richness that is very palatable and very drinkable.
Speaking of a Guinness, I remember the last time that you guys were here, you brought in a blue can of Guinness that was like a milk stout.
That's exactly what it was, yes.
Ever since then, I've been looking for that damn thing. I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, it might have been a seasonal thing, and I believe that was during the drunk show, so it might be out now. I'm not sure. I haven't looked lately, but if you're at the store over the next day or so, why don't you take a look at that one, because you're right, it's a light blue can and it's a light blue, you know, 12 pack container, and it's got the Guinness kind of you know, labeling all over it, so yeah, look for that. It might be out now.
Guinness has quite a varietal. They have their extra stout, they've got the regular stout, and then they have that milk stout and that stuff, so you just got to be careful what you're looking for. And by the way, while you're picking it up, it's always good to buy extra because you can always cook with Guinness.
Mm. Oh, that's very true. Very true. But yeah, you know, it's so funny because Steve and I will go to BevMo, and like, let's say we're just kind of hanging out or whatever. Steve will always get his pack of Guinness or whatever, and I'm always looking for that blue can. And I mean, even when I'm at a Ralph's or a Vaughn's or whatever, I'm always looking for it. And I'm always looking for some of these beers that you guys are talking about. I got to move out where you guys are at because I can't find that shit over here.
Well, you know what? Next time you're at a place like a BevMo, or we like to go to Total Wine because we got one near us, ask them if they have another milk stout you could try. Because if you liked the milk stout from Guinness, you might very well like any other milk stout they have. And that should be more more popular these days. So it shouldn't be too hard to find. And just try one of the off brands. Or I shouldn't say one of the off brands. I should say one of the brands that you're just not familiar with and see if you like it.
Yeah, there was. Go ahead, Kay.
I was going to say, if you really like something, also ask the manager at the BevMo that you've got. They may be willing to bring it on in for you.
Oh.
They may not know that they've got a market for it because there's so much out there that sometimes if you ask them, and I've had to do that with a couple of scotches from my dad and that sort of thing, that they will bring it on in for you.
Yeah, tell them you're famous. You're part of a famous podcast.
Do I have to slip them a 20 or anything like that? Or
no.
Oh,
no.
Okay. All right.
Usually, these places are one. They usually are really good about catering to the interests of their drinking public. So, yeah, okay. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah, because I know there's one. I mean, the Belgian Beaver you guys introduced us to, the peanut butter one has been great. There was also a. Oh shoot! I just drank it with Zach the other day because I had two bottles left. Where it was like, I think a milk marshmallow one.
Oh, yeah. Marshmallow.
Yeah, and that one was really good, too, because I like that one. But I've been trying to find that damn Guinness one, so.
Yeah, I just ask if your local place doesn't have it. Most of them are really pretty good. If they can get it, they will get it in for you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And then if I do slip them a 20, they'll get it to me faster, too.
Could be.
Never know. Very cool. Kay, how are you doing with your beers, though, sweetie? I mean, what's going on with that? What flavors are you cooking up right now?
Well, I finally got a chance to get back to brewing because teaching kind of got in the way of my extra hobby. No, just
damn
kidding.
It.
but
freaking kids.
Yeah, no, it's actually mine. I've been doing cultural celebrations for some of our cultures on our campus as we sort of renew who we are. We're in a renaissance of trying to get the kids connected back to school, connected to who they are, and taking pride in who they are. But at any rate,
well, you know, Kay, that if you do combine the beer with the cultural thing with the kids,
it just doesn't work.
You know, I've suggested that many times.
Yeah, I mean, because now you're killing everything all at once, and really bringing everybody all together.
I'm actually working on a early summer beer. It's a blueberry pale ale, but I just don't. Thank you for the suggestion. I don't think it will work at the high school level, though. So
college, then, Kay. College, it would be a hit.
Junior year in college.
And you guys are going to like her blueberry pale ale. It's a really popular one for our friends and family. So
I remember that one. Yeah, you've done that one before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she has.
I've changed it up a little bit this time. I've added 54 ounces of blueberries this time instead of 48. So trying to put a little bit more blueberry spin on it, but don't want it to sit quite as long. So we'll see how it goes. Because you got to change it up each time.
Definitely. All right. So that's what you got coming up right now then, right?
I do. I'd like to get a lager going. I'm looking at trying to do a salt and lime lager.
Salt and lime?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had one of those.
Summery Mexican lagers, so it'll be fun.
That sounds interesting.
Salt.
They are growing in popularity right now, and with summer coming in, with the heat starting, and out, obviously with the rain and the cold that's recent, it's been unseasonably hot, so just starting to look at the, you know, summer drinking and... So something palatable.
Okay, in all seriousness, Kate, when are you looking on making that one?
Probably in about 2 weeks, I'll get that going.
Okay, because I was thinking maybe we could get you guys in. I know this year it's really weird because both, you know, when we do our drunk shows and everything, you know, we try to do it the Saturday before, but now it's like 2 days after of both. St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo, but I'm thinking maybe we can have you guys in after Cinco de Mayo.
Definitely, we could look at that because I start it because I'm on spring break I returned back from Albuquerque. I think it's on the 20th, so I'm looking at brewing that week. So it's basically 4 weeks after that. That so it shouldn't be ready until about end of April. So yeah, May might be good.
Okay.
Yeah, it might not be ready in time, but we could always use it as a summer kickoff if you wanted to do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's pencil you guys for that.
Yeah, we'd like to come in. We'd love to come in anytime. So if she doesn't have it ready, that's okay. We can find something to. Yeah.
We do have right around Cinco de Mayo that weekend. That May 7th is when my son gets married in Albuquerque. Right. So.
Oh, okay.
We'll be out in New Mexico.
Oh, okay then. All right, no worries then.
But if you want to do a kickoff for summer and that sort of stuff, I'll definitely bring some in. Or if you guys want to do the tasting, who knows, maybe I'll be able to get a chance to get it out to you guys, and you guys can do the tasting, see what you think, and pair it up with some others that are out there in the market.
Yeah, and as always, we can come out to you guys too, so that's never a problem.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So.
Just a word of note, the stout you're talking about, Guinness and the Blue Can, is called Over the Moon.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
That's right,
Over
the Moon.
Over the Moon. Yeah. And it is Over the Moon.
Oh, that was so good. You know, that became my favorite, actually, of those three that they pulled in. I'm like, oh, I love this thing. And I can't find it anywhere. It's so frustrating. I can't. It's frustrating. Oh. When did the goat come in? Jesus. Wow.
I meant to scream, but I didn't.
It sounded like a goat to me. Wow. Anyway, Mike Kay is always, it's always good to hear your voices. And I'm so glad to hear about your son getting married. Congratulations on that. And I'm sure you're gaining a wonderful daughter-in-law over there.
We are. Thank you, though.
We definitely are. Yeah, it's great to be on the show again. And I do want to say one thing.
Yes, Mike.
Sean, we just got done watching Christian James Hand live.
Oh, yes, we do need to talk about that before you guys go. What did you think about that?
I know you've got a timeline here, but I want to tell everybody who's listening, if they haven't yet, you know, that you got to get to know this man, because Kay and I had been listening to him, I think a year or so before we hooked up with the podcast. We had discovered him, and then, you know, we've been listening to him ever since. And the live show was incredible. And it was 3 hours long on one song. And that may sound terrible to some people, but there was not a moment that we were bored. It was just incredible.
It was phenomenal.
I am so glad that you guys have gone out to see him. I mean, Steve and I have gone numerous times to some of his live shows.
Yeah.
When they've been in Pasadena or Whittier close by or whatever. I know he's been having them a little bit further out now. And he's been getting a little bit busier with it. But... even for those of you guys on the East Coast with Delmarva and Lime City, we've mentioned him a few times. If you don't know who we're talking about, his name is Christian James Hand. Follow him on Instagram and Facebook also at the Sessions. And I think he's got a new handle on Instagram as well.
He's actually Sir Christian James Hand on Instagram, but my understanding is he might be leaving Instagram because he's not happy with some things, and so
yeah, he's going over to TikTok.
TikTok or Twitch or something like that. And just if you look him up online, he does have a website, The Session on Air,
right?
And from there, I think you can get to he's got, you know, dozens and dozens of podcasts that you can listen to of what he does. And he is leaving the radio station, too. I think he's starting to grow in popularity. So.
Well, he's just a genius. And if you love music, which, like, Sean, I know you do.
Yeah.
But he is just incredible. You'll never hear music the same way again.
And what he does, guys, just to do a quick breakdown, and again, I'm so glad that Mike and Kay, you guys had a chance to go see him. What Christian does is he'll take a classic song, and he'll break it down, meaning that he'll isolate all the instruments, and you'll hear the instruments play by themselves. And then he'll put the song slowly back together. So you may hear drums by themselves first. Then you'll hear the bass by itself. Then he'll put the drums and the bass together, and you'll hear that. But in between all of this, he gives you so much information, cracks an awful lot of jokes about it and everything. And he's just wonderfully entertaining. But to hear some of these classic rock songs break down this way, he's the only one who's really doing it. And yes, he just left KLOS, which is a local station here in Los Angeles. He just left him, I think, this past Monday. and he's got a couple of other things coming up in the future. And I just sent him an email the other day telling him, of course, because he's been on our program a couple of times as well, letting him know that whatever he's got coming up next, we will more than gladly to help promote for him, because it's just brilliant. And to be in a room for 3 hours with him, you're laughing, you're crying, you're going through all these emotions and listening to this awesome music. And it is truly, truly a new experience and a new way to listen to music and appreciate music as well.
You start hearing things you never knew you heard before.
Yeah, exactly.
Realizing there's so many more pieces to it than just what you usually hear.
Yeah.
Just the stories he brings in and the number of artists that come in to share their own personal stories and their journeys through their own music. It's just because Wendy was there when we were there and it was hilarious to hear her stories. It was heartwarming. It just was a remarkable experience because he truly is talented. And I believe the artists understand his true dedication to their art as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really great. I'm glad you guys brought it up because I almost forgot that you guys went, and I'm so glad that you guys finally got to go see him because, like I said, it's just an experience to be in the room with Christian and have him break down the music and tell you the stories behind the songs, what went on possibly in the studio and everything and how things were done. So I'm glad you guys got to experience that.
Yeah, and if you ever get him in your room again, we definitely want to be at that show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys.
I'll bring the beer.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, he would love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, again, good to hear your voices. I'm so glad you guys are doing well. Let's not make it as long as a break next time, and we'll get you guys on sooner.
Yep.
All right, you guys
great.
Take care.
We appreciate you guys. Have fun, and we love you, and happy St. Patrick.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks. Love you both.
Love
take
you
care, guys.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. I'm just a cold beer drinker. Check out the callus on my pop-top finger. Got a cooler in the back with a 12-pack ready to roll. I'm just a cold beer drinker. Let's go ahead and do sports.
Oh, man.
What's that?
I just, you know, my mouth is going, mmm.
I know.
And all those.
And I kid you not, dude. I have been looking for that damn Guinness. Every time I go with you, I look for that blue can. Yeah. And I can't fucking find it anywhere. It pisses me off.
I think it may be seasonal because some of the things I was looking at just a minute ago, it was saying out of stock. And so I think it's just they don't brew it all the time.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be it. So. But so good to talk to Mike and Kay. Oh, and we know what that music means.
Look at that. We don't even have to get him to downstairs this time.
What?
Yeah.
I don't have to get him to downstairs.
Oh, I know.
I got a call with it.
Well, that too.
No. All righty, guys. Well, we ran a little bit over time with Mike and Kay, but it's so good that we did.
Okay.
But no matter what, we've got our buddy Oz Davis in the room with sports from the SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Us.com.
How are you?
I'm fine. It's okay that we went over time because we're kind of in a dead area of sport right now. We don't know anything about March Madness tournament yet. Women's college softball isn't geared up. The NBA is interesting, but the Lakers suck, so I don't want to talk about it.
And NBA is still no, what am I talking about?
NBA,
no.
National, Curling Association.
MLB is still, they're still deadlocked with.
Yes, that's what I wanted to get to is MLB. And I know you guys are going to talk about non-existent words later on. Maybe you can come up with a word for me when you want to start a sentence with, it's funny, but what you're going to say is not funny. So it's funny the way that things are working out in Major League Baseball right now. We will miss games. We will miss games.
Yeah, because they're saying, what, the first six?
At least. It's going to go
I think
a
that's
lot
called
longer.
Irony.
Yeah,
the way that your mood switched right after you said that sentence is just smiling and all.
I just
mood
love
drop.
Baseball. And really, so I wanted to flip the switch a little bit on the sports segment this weekend. Kind of like ask everybody here, like, what is your relationship with baseball and sports? You know, we have this nice cross section. We got people from all different generations here. And so I just wanted to go through and just, you know, let's take a pulse here. because I have a feeling I know what I'm going to get. Now, Sean, I know you have a distinct relationship with baseball, so I want to start with the oldest guy first. Steve.
I'm not that cold.
Well, maybe me. So, tell me in general, like, when you were a kid, how important was baseball, and what do you see, like, nowadays?
Well, when I was, like, 5, I collected baseball cards.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my prized possessions was the
1883.
The team picture.
No. Jeez.
No, it was the team picture of the 1955 Dodgers World Championship. Oh, nice. And I was like, I was into it. And I was into the Dodgers. Now,
you had that?
I had that. I had Mickey Mantle.
We've gone down this conversation road before.
Anyway.
Parents, don't have them.
My dad was a sort of he was a Dodger fan, but he liked this new semi-pro team called the Angels. Mm. And he took me to see the Angels the year before they went pro.
So 60. Or
went into the major league. In Los Angeles, there used to be a stadium called Wrigley Field.
Oh, yes.
Mm. And he took me to see the Angels in Wrigley Field. And that impressed me as I can't remember how old I was, 8, 10, somewhere in there. I can't remember what year it was. But that, you know, I liked baseball and everything. But then there were the, a weird thing happened to me at Dodger Stadium. I was walking, through the hallway towards the bullpen out there in left field. And Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale were walking toward me. Ooh. And Don Drysdale was on my side, and I looked and said, "Wow, hey, you guys are great," and they totally ignored me. So there's
screw
yin and
you
yang.
Too.
Well, so it wasn't the mean Joe Green throwing the jersey thing, is what you're saying.
Not exactly. Yeah, okay. But,
they threw a cleat at him, is what happened.
Yeah, the yin and yang of baseball is like, mostly baseball, I don't know. I think it's become it's all about the ego and hitting home runs.
It's interesting the way that people perceive that. Yeah. Now, you told me, Sean, that your dad played. Played ball.
Yeah, my dad was he was in the minor leagues. My grandfather actually owned the team. They were called the Whittier Angels. They also started in 1961, the same year the Angels went from semi-pro to pro, went into the league itself. And my dad was a player manager. He was a pitcher. And my grandfather eventually sold the team in the early 70s, right after I was born. And I think he sold it to the Dodgers at the time. Not for a whole lot of money or anything like that, but it was the time that the Dodgers and the Angels and other big league teams were buying some of the smaller teams, because there was quite a bit back then. And and those are one of the teams that got sucked up in with those whirlwinds. But I've got a picture of my dad in his Angel uniform with who I don't know, but which is nice because it shows proof that my dad did play. Yeah, it's the only picture I have of him of that. But, my dad, I fell in love with the game as a kid. I mean, we would play baseball all the time on my front yard because our front yard was a semi-rectangular, squarish kind of yard. So where the driveway is, there's the that first corner there where the lawn and the driveway are next to the porch. That was home base. And so, running over to the right was the next corner was first, and then, second. And
classic.
You had to pass the tree to get to third, not run into the tree. And it was great. I loved it. And, of course, then we also played, street baseball when I was at my grandparents' house. And we were always in a cul-de-sac or something like that. And, if you hit it this way or that way, you're automatically out.
So what about your son? Does he do this?
No. Not that much. No. He played when he was younger, though. He did T-ball and stuff like that. So, right. And he was a natural at it, too. I mean, one of my favorite memories before my dad passed is we went to a park near my parents' house, and my son was about 2.5 or so, 3 because my dad passed 4 months before my son turned 4. And so there's a picture of my father staring down my son. And he's ready to pitch him the ball. And, you know, it's that old stare down, you know, at home plate kind of a thing. And he's got, you know, that hand behind him and the ball in his hand or whatever. And my son's there ready to, you know, with a plastic bat, yellow plastic bat, ready to hit this wiffle ball. And it's right before my dad throws the pitch. And, you know, to me, that's just classic, you know, for that. So I'm glad my dad kind of got to see that with my son. So, and I have footage of my son where we took him out to a baseball field when we were living in Los Alamitos and filming him. And he's like pretending he's Babe Ruth. And, you know, I tell him, hey, you know, hit it over to mom. So, you know, he's like, okay, I'm going to hit it to mom. And he points out to mom.
Right.
And sure enough, he hits the ball off the tee to mom. You know, it's amazing. I'll have to show it to you.
Yeah, I'll take a look.
And
what about nowadays? Are you still into the game as much as you used to be? I mean,
No, and mainly because, you know, I still watch it on TV as often as I
you
can.
You do? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I would love to go to the park more.
Right.
I don't because the prices of food is so freaking high.
And parking and...
Well, I don't mind the parking.
The tickets.
The tickets you can still get inexpensively.
Yeah,
you
know, for the Angels, yeah.
You know, but for the food, I mean, $20 for a beer.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, I don't even drink beer. I'll have a stout. But, you know, you know, but I mean, you know, I remember my mom and I, we went to a Dodger game with some friends of hers from work, and... My mom gave me a 20 and says, give me something to eat. You know, I said, what do you want? She goes, well, just get me a burger or whatever. Okay. And I came back. She goes, where's my change? I said, I had to put in $15 more just for the two of us.
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
And that's the reason why I don't go, you know, but I love going to the park.
So the TV experience is still superior though overall, right?
Well, it's because it's the only way I can get it.
Can you not bring your own food to a game?
No.
Is it not like the NASCARs where you can walk in with a cooler?
No.
Why can't you just hide it in a bag?
Well, people do.
Because they search.
Do they? Do they? Yeah,
sometimes they'll search.
Security, yeah.
That's why you have those fake binoculars or whatever.
Got
you know,
it.
So you can put the alcohol in there.
Nice.
Fake pregnancy bag?
I'll get off it really soon, but I wanted to ask Casey, too, because, Casey, you're from New Jersey, and New Jersey is a great sports
Yeah, I love baseball and softball growing up. I used to always go and see the Phillies play. That was always my home team.
Nice.
And then my dad, I've got funny stories of him playing like in the old-timers leagues that we had in our neighborhood.
Sweet.
So it was a bunch of dudes that were, you know, well into their 40s and into their 50s getting together to
Towny
play the game.
Ball.
Yeah, for sure. We had so much fun. And, you know, afterwards they would all get together. You know, they'd bring beer for each person from the team would donate beers in so everyone would hang
stouts.
Around. What was it?
You mean stouts?
Not usually, no. No.
They had to donate beers.
<You know?
laughs> They had to donate beers because they had to use them for first base and second base.
Yeah.
You know, that was the kind of league my dad played.
Right. I remember my dad.
That's
hitting
what Steve and I used to do.
Yeah.
Slosh ball.
Hitting a home run and pulling a hamstring on second base. So he's hobbling around third to get home.
Awesome stuff.
Laying down behind the base after he got home because his leg is killing him.
Oh, no.
But I've always loved it. I played in high school, too. I played like elementary all the way into high school and then pretty much dropped off it once I got into college.
And the league?
I've watched it, you know, I followed it less and less, I find, over the years. You know, I like to tune in for, like, the Home Run Derby and stuff like that.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Derby.
Oh, not for me.
My favorite
was when Vladdy won.
Now, Caitlin is a non-sports person, but
well,
I just wanted to add, well, she said she doesn't
care. Now, but I have, like...
But I was just wondering, like, how pervasive is sports in your life? Like, I assume you go to a Super Bowl party or whatever, but like, how much does this stuff hit your life?
Like, not at all.
Just on the public? Yes. There you go. So there you go. And that's to me what's weird about sports in general and baseball specifically these days.
That's
is that you know. every once in a while in our culture, you have a sports figure that's larger than life that everybody knows. Like Michael Jordan in the 90s is the best example of this.
Yeah.
Everybody knew who Jordan was. Everybody wanted to know what was happening, even if you didn't like basketball.
Yeah.
You still Joe DiMaggio in the 40s. You know, Tom Brady to some extent nowadays. Sean's favorite.
I just wonder
if these sports are going to... Can they survive? Can they survive?
I think so, because, I mean, we've seen the MLB go through strikes before. We've seen them go through so much before. We've seen them also go through controversy, you know, with the steroids and everything like that. It's a matter of it coming back.
I say pump them all up.
You know?
You might as well. It's saved the game before.
Well, and that's just it, because, I mean, you've got the pros and cons of it, because during that time period, you know, it was so exciting to see them chase after these records. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this record's going to have an asterisk after it, you know?
So nobody remembers anymore. Nobody remembers it. How many games in a row did Cal Ripken play?
But I mean,
how many home runs did Barry Bonds hit?
But
we don't remember the numbers
anymore. But they play so many. They're such large numbers.
Not only that, though, but we've also got to remember, too, that generations have come and gone. I mean, you know, we've mentioned artists, whatever, to Caitlin, you know, or actors. I mean, we were talking about downstairs, we're going to have Paloma Estevez on next week on our show. Paloma is actor Emilio Estevez's daughter. Okay.
Oh, nice.
And we're doing a special segment of certain people coming in, you know, and it's children of celebrities, basically, that we wanted to do. And so, you know, she goes, Emilio, who? You know, the three of us knew who Emilio Estevez was. Caitlin didn't, you know. It's her generation. You know.
Well, yes, but okay.
So you're going to have that evolution. And the thing is we're seeing it happen, though. You know, which is why not that many. I think not many people are bringing it up.
But baseball,
she's over there Googling things to keep up with the conversation.
But baseball, unlike other sports, and unlike most other cultural whatever products, depends on history. Football doesn't depend on history. Football depends on Sunday and Monday night, right? Basketball doesn't depend on history. Basketball depends on the dunk highlights from last week, okay? Baseball is all about remembering who Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth were. Mm-hmm. Baseball is all about, like, remembering the Brooklyn Dodgers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. History is necessary to the appreciation of, like, you know, pro baseball or whatever. You don't have to know the history to play the game. But, and to me, that's what's worrisome, is that there's so little emphasis on history in general these days. Like,
yeah,
history is just not a thing. Yeah. There is no history in baseball, right? Unless League of Their Own.
Right? Oh, unless you want to watch that too. That was good.
But okay, that's all I wanted to know. That's sports. Also, the USFL is suing the USFL, which is really funny. But
I mean, sports was a part of my life when I was younger. Like, it was a lot. I tried like every sport pretty much possible when I was younger. But even like, I remember when I was living in North Carolina, I was living with a family friend, and they're huge baseball people, and they wanted me to play baseball with them out in the yard. And so the 12-year-old was like trying to teach me, and he was like, God, you're awful. And I was like, I've never done this in my life.
You play ball like a girl.
I'm like, I've never done this in my life, bro. You've been playing since you were three.
Yeah. I mean, I think every sport goes through their phases or whatever, and each sport's a little bit different for everybody. You know, it's like I enjoy the college games more than I do the pro games in football. That's my thing. You know, give me in front of a UCLA game or USC game. You know, I'm rooting for our local colleges. I enjoy those games more than I do the pro games. The only time I really watch the pro games, in all honesty, Super Bowl. That's the only time I'm really interested. And I don't care who's in. You know, that's you know, what I'm really watching it.
Rams.
basketball. It really depends, you know, for me. I really haven't been that interested since Jordan came on board.
Yeah.
Because to me, it stopped becoming a team sport and started to become more of what's the one guy that we can pass the ball to, you know?
Well, however, but on the bigger scheme of things, right, basketball affects our cultural consciousness here in America. It does. Pro basketball does.
Yeah.
It really does. In a way that just baseball just hasn't. And for 80, 90 years, that was America's thing.
I think
was
it's
baseball.
Is it? Does it?
And jazz.
I don't have that connection to NBA.
Those were the things. Those were the American things.
I still think it does. It's just that, like you said, not that much has exciting has been going on. Yeah. I mean, now for LA, you know, we've gone to the World Series two years in a row. Very exciting. You know, we finally won it last year, basically. So, you know, what's going to happen this year? We don't know. But it's still, I think it also depends on the town that you're in as well. You know, I mean, I remember.
Oh, of course.
I remember watching a game. It was the Pittsburgh Pirates against, I can't remember who. But the game was so interesting because the ball was doing odd things. And my dad made me come in and watch the game. Hmm. And it could have been for one of the playoffs or it could have been a World Series, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s or something. But he goes, watch this. He goes, I've seen this happen in a game as well, but never in a game like this. Mm-hmm. And the ball will be going straight and all of a sudden hit something out there and make a left turn. And it was just odd things that were happening, you know. So, I mean, I think it just depends. I think every sport goes through its cycles. Every sport goes through its scandals or whatever, and they overcome it. They go through their high points and their low points, you know.
Well, thanks for talking me off the ledge. I don't have much.
Oh hell, jump, dude.
I don't have much faith in the thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Jeez, you told me you didn't need me next week. I guess take that literally. I just worry that the Major League Baseball team owners don't care about the game. And I worry that the players don't see the problems in the game. And I think we're at a really crucial point here where Major League Baseball could really, like,
I think they forgot. Take a hit. I think they forgot what they're playing for.
Of course. Of course.
Well, because
absolutely.
Kind of some of the problems we're having in the country is it's become too commercial, too much money, too much business involved in
it for you
to enjoy the basics of the game. Because originally when baseball back in the, you know, the early, the 20s, 30s back, you know, when the baseball was the sport of the country, you know, and the baseball players would take the subway with the people who were going to the game because they weren't making billions of dollars, you know, and it was part of the fabric of our lives as a country. And now it's switched. Football is the most watched sport in the country.
And basketball is the most played.
Basketball is the most,
absolutely.
Basketball because you can just walk down to the park with a ball. That's all you need. You don't need anything else.
Yeah.
You don't need pads. Yeah. You don't need a bat. You don't need equipment. You just need the ball.
Product of another time.
That's why that's
baseball. Product of another time. So,
things do ebb and flow.
Yeah,
change.
They change. They do this. I mean, because like even like when Steve and I kind of first met, you know, 30 years ago, I mean, we were playing slosh ball. I kind of briefly mentioned it. You know, we put it in. The thing was, it was a gathering during the summer for friends who only got together because we did the Halloween haunt at Knott's Berry Farm together. So that we would catch up with each other during the summer. We do two or three games. And, you know, we would party together. We'd go off and we would have brunch, find an empty school that had a hidden baseball area, you know, hidden baseball diamond, because we put a party ball out on second base.
Nice.
You know, you had a drink before you bat. You had a drink while you were at second base. And then you drink when you scored.
Rules, I think, are actually codified because everybody knows these rules.
Yeah. You know, and then once we were done, and we would do sometimes two games, we were done or whatever, then we'd go back to whoever's house was the closest and party there until 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know,
good luck, baseball.
It's changed, I think, absolutely. But to me, it comes in waves. It really does. You know,
you get a good player. Nowadays, who really is a good player, they tend to attract attention.
Yeah.
I think probably more than the team.
Yeah, because, I mean, I remember I could probably still name the whole infield of the Dodgers of the 70s.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Today, I can't do that to anybody else.
No.
You know, so to me, those days are kind of long gone. You know, you can name, like Steve just said, a couple of guys from the Angels or a couple of guys from, you know, the Yankees or a couple of guys from whatever, you know. And that's great and all, but it's not like it was back then. So to me, those days are over with.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with something that you had said on past shows where the game really needs to pick up on the defense, you know, and like the making the plays on the bases. I always thought was kind of highlights of the of the game. Seeing those first basemen fall into a split just to catch the ball and get the guy out, and I thought that was really cool. And now it's no hitter games all the time.
Right.
I think I honestly think that pitchers building up their skills as much as they have, blowing out their shoulders, you know, not really caring, as long as they can throw it faster, you know, more precise, and they're striking more people out as opposed to putting the ball in play.
Right. Yeah, well, that's the thing.
I've got an argument on that one, though.
You only need to pitch for three or four innings now.
See,
right? They're getting rid of the starting pitcher. They're getting rid of the stolen base. Stolen base is dead. They're getting rid of the sacrifice bunt. You know, everything that makes the game fast moving,
right?
They're getting rid of, you know, and it's the and there's also no online presence with Major League Baseball, which is a big thing. You go to the game, there's no interactivity at all. None, zero. And that's what you need. NBA, you're constantly entertained.
You know? Well, it's a game that's constantly moving. Where, I mean, I mean, baseball is a slow paced game.
Oh yeah, sure is.
I was gonna say, I'm not interested in basketball. I would much rather sit
really?
Down. I have zero interest.
We got to get in to see the Harlem Globetrotters because you would definitely be interested.
No,
in
I don't. I've seen them, and I don't mind the trick shots and stuff like that. But I'm not. I just
wow, not a basketball person.
No, it didn't. Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me.
But one more thing, and then we'll move on, though. But the pitchers, though, like you were saying, you know, it's three or four innings, where before they used to go seven or eight innings before you brought in a reliever.
Yeah.
You know, now you have the opener, then you have the middle reliever, then you have the closer or whatever. And the thing with me, though, is that these guys are only using 2 to 3 pitches, every single one of them.
They've put in a rule now where you have to have a minimum number of pitches.
And the thing to me is, what happened where they used to know 7 or 8 pitches?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, like I said, I remember last time we talked about who's throwing the palm ball now?
Yeah.
Who's throwing a knuckleball?
Yeah.
These balls are not, the only one that's illegal is still the spitball.
Yeah.
You know, but the curve, the slurve, the slider or whatever, you know.
Changeup.
The changeup. Yeah. I mean, every damn pitcher, every single one should learn all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not just use 2 or 3 and that's it. You know,
Mike Maddox would rule the league right now. That,
you know,
he would be awesome.
Because to
right
me,
now.
That's what really brings everything in, because you're going, what is he going to throw next? You know, is he going to throw? I mean, when was the last time you heard a pitcher throw a knuckleball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Doesn't happen. No, the Red Sox had a guy,
you know,
not 10 years ago.
How long ago?
Yeah. Not Linicum. It was.
But 10 years ago.
Wakefield.
Okay, and when was the last time?
And he was 40 some odd, too.
And
retired.
When was the last time you heard somebody throw a palm ball?
Oh, pff. Done.
Exactly. Exactly. All right.
Okay, hey, I have one thing that has to be mentioned. I would be reticent to let this go. Today is a very significant day in the world of college basketball.
Ooh.
Because Coach Mike Krzyzewski is coaching his very last game in college basketball. Last home game. He still has the tournament and other things, but this is last home game today, and he's retiring, and it's like a legend is leaving the sport. But it's interesting that the tickets for this college basketball game this morning were going from anywhere around $4,000 or $5,000 a seat.
Wow.
Up to $15,000 and $20,000. And there's one ticket that's $100,000 because of where it is in the stadium. It's near the players and stuff like that. So, yeah, Coach Mike Krzyzewski, coach of Duke, is leaving. It's
all
so
right.
Sad. Okay, I had to say that.
All right.
Oz, you want to say where they can find you?
Sorry?
You want to say where they can find you?
Yeah, check out my stuff, OrvilleMulligan.com. You can also go to SportsHistoryNetwork.com right now.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Well, we try to do these at the beginning of every month, of course, and that is doing our horoscopes. Let's go ahead and get this down. All right. right. Kaylin, why don't you go ahead and start off, because you got Pisces.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and do the birthday people first.
With Pisces season in full swing, little fish, you should be feeling the love from your family, friends, and the other side. The universe is looking for ways to guide and bless you right now. Use these vibes to think hard about what you want to accomplish in the year ahead, and be sure to send a little birthday wish to the sun and moon. Meanwhile, Mercury and Saturn align in your solar 12th house. This planetary alliance can help you use a logical approach to break unhealthy patterns. And it can also help the word... It can also give you the words to set boundaries when where needed. if you need to cut ties with anyone in your friendship or social media circle, now would be the time to block and unfriend. While there's quite... Jesus, I cannot read this morning. While there's nothing quite like the sun in your sign, you'll feel positive and motivated as Aries season emerges on March 20th. This cosmic period puts the forces on your finances and giving you a chance to begin new ventures that could lead to wealth. However, you'll need to take the initiative when it comes to your monetary goals, especially if they involve going back to school or investing in special training. Try not to get overwhelmed by the costs associated with your future. Just remember that your dreams are worth the investment.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Gemini, you'll be able to break through professional barriers this month as the sun makes its way through expansive Pisces.
God, I hope so.
Activating the sector of your chart that governs career. Your colleagues and superiors could be more emotionally open than usual, dear Gemini, so use these vibes to develop your professional relationships. A nurturing attitude towards your coworkers can help you gain the devotion of the people you work with, boosting your popularity at the office. However, you could be more sensitive than usual, so remember not to take on more than you can handle. Your hard work is likely to pay off when Mercury cozies up to auspicious Jupiter on the 20th. Don't be afraid to take credit for your work now, and be ready for good news to come your way. This solar placement lights a fire in the sector of your chart that governs community, helping you to gain attention in the weeks ahead. Considering organizing a get-together with friends and co-workers with the Aries new moon manifests in the sky on March 31st, this energy gives you an opportunity to shine amid your peers, which could ultimately lead to more opportunities down the road. At the very least, you can lay down a foundation for steady and reliable relationships with the people you care about.
All I heard is work, 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 work. Damn it, Lord knows I need it. Jesus.
All right, Scorpio, when Pisces season is highly emotional for some, dear Scorpion, you feel confident, strong, and inspired by the season of the fish. You're one of the most organically confident members of the Zodiac, which means you're not afraid to put yourself out there and take a few chances. However, you counter this exuberance with a fierce desire for privacy, which can make you difficult to gauge how and when to come out of your shell. Give yourself permission to go out on a limb and often, but do yourself a favor and consider exactly what this looks like before moving forward. If you're hoping to share a passion project with the world, have your most opinionated friends look at it first. If you're hoping to get closer with your crush, make sure your communication is open and honest so the object of your affection knows where you stand.
Yeah, you never tell me anything anymore.
After all, you are one of the hardest signs to read, so dating you can be intimidating.
Ooh.
March
20th.
You're intimidating?
Marks the beginning of spring, Aries season, and a new astrological year. The season of the Ram shines a light, asking you to prioritize where you're putting your energy. If you find that you're sidestepping your goals because you're exhausted from taking care of others, it might be time for them to fend for themselves. Putting up healthy and productive boundaries between you and your loved ones can make space for you to pursue the things you want most. You'll need to be more practical about how you spend your time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I don't have very much of it as it is. So.
All right. Here we go. Aries, March is a dreamy month for you, dear Ram. The season of the fish gives you a chance to fantasize about your future, and the universe is encouraging you to dream big. These vibes also allow you to embark upon some serious healing, though you'll need to be real with yourself, especially when it comes to identifying behavioral patterns. Major inspiration might find you when the sun cozies up to visionary Neptune on the 13th. Your psyche could be flooded with brilliant ideas, though you'll need to make sure you stay grounded and practical as well. It would be easy to romanticize almost any area of your life in this cosmic climate, which could be dangerous if you get too swept up in a fantasy or begin to ignore red flags in your relationships. Before getting caught up in your daydreams, remember to ask yourself if the outcome you envision is practical and how you would get there. No matter how fanciful the beginning of the month is, the real action does not begin until March 20th. Sorry, gotta wait. Okay. You should feel confident, though, motivated, and energized. The universe will be looking for ways to grant all of your birthday wishes, so remember to ask the other side for assistance.
Yes.
Oh. And then we've got one more, right?
Leo? Yeah.
Leo.
March starts with an emotionally intense vibe, encouraging energetic exchanges between you and your loved ones. It could be harder to set sustainable boundaries with the people in your life, which might inspire you to leave behind any friends or romantic partners who have become overly difficult in recent months.
Bye, Mateo.
If you're not sure you want to say goodbye to someone for good, consider distancing yourself until Aries season.
Just do it.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, rip the Band-Aid off.
You might want to get a bit transactional with the universe now, promising to break a bad habit in exchange for assistance with your goals. This is also a great time to reflect on what you need to cut out of your life in order to make way for the new people, hobbies, healthy habits, or relationships you dream of. While Pisces season asks you to rework some situations and connections in your life, the vibe switches when the sun enters fiery Aries on the 20th. This cosmic climate lights a fire in the sector of your chart that rules personal philosophies and spirituality, helping you reconnect with your intuition and the world around you. Make sure you're keeping your eyes peeled for signs and taking extra steps to embrace a mystical practice right now, because the universe is looking for ways to communicate with you.
Huh.
Hi there.
Oh, Jesus. Well, all right.
Well, okay. Yeah.
There you go. There are the horoscopes. All right, so last thing we're going to do for you guys today, you know, everybody kind of comes up. You were talking about, I think about it earlier, about real words, whatever. Come up with a word or whatever for something like that. And it's really interesting that there are some words I think people use, but the thing is that they're not in the dictionary or anything like that. You know, it's just people stuff that people have kind of come up with. So we've got not real words, but they should be. All right. So we've got the list here. Caitlin's going to go ahead and read them off, and Steve and I are going to give you guys the definition on it.
First word, snoot.
A mixture of dirt and snot that results when you blow your nose after camping or being at a festival.
Not a real word, but it should be. Yeah.
Interlude. Interdude.
What is it again?
Interdude.
Interdude. All right, so the guy you date while you're on a break with your boyfriend, a rebound fling.
I even read that one wrong because I was like, what?
Hey, Casey. I'll be your interdude.
Yeah, there we go. You got to wait till the 20th when my moon starts changing or something.
Hey, I'll wait.
Unbrassed.
Unbrassed. Acting like you're embarrassed when you're really not.
Okay.
Unbarrassed. Okay.
Unbarrassed.
Unbarrassed.
Oh.
Unbarrassed.
Unbarrassed. Yeah. Unbarrassed.
You can't read today, can you?
Well, what the? These words,
self-acan. Though. Self-acan.
Self-acan. Okay.
It isn't selfish.
To be fair, these aren't real words.
But they should
but they
be.
Should be.
What? Self-acan?
Selfishian.
Selfishian.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. Person who takes lots of selfies and can make themselves look good regardless of reality.
Oh,
that's a talented person.
That's
I'll tell you
skill.
That right now.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
Nopular.
Nopular. Nuplia.
How do you say the word popular?
Popular. No. Only popular.
It's
no
nopular.
Nopular. Yeah. So
nopular.
This is when someone thinks that they're well liked and well received, but in reality, they're unpopular. Nopular.
Just like this word, because who's ever said this? Jesus.
Maybe he said it. You never know.
Yeah, but he said it in Aramaic.
That or Hebrew, one of the two.
Cock flocking.
Cock flocking?
When the male to female ratio is skewed and one man gets more female attention than he can handle.
I don't see that very often.
Yeah, when does that happen?
Right?
We call that a reverse gangbang.
Yeah, I don't get that one. Yeah. I've never had that scenario happen.
Only if you're in Alaska.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
cock flocking sounds like it would be men flocking to somebody else.
No, well, just women or
flocking to the cock.
To the cock, yeah.
Flocking that's to the cock. Yeah. Phrase of the flocking. Day. Like flocking said, to the cock.
The opposite.
Go to Alaska. Yeah. The ratio is different.
No, is that right?
Women to men, yeah.
Huh.
All right.
Hiatus.
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 Hiatus. And hi is spelled H-I-G-H.
I was going to say hiatus. That's a real word.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is a different, that is a word. That should be.
Different hiatus, yeah.
When a stoner abstains from smoking weed for an extended period of time.
Yeah, see, I don't understand that at all.
Well, you guys don't
never experience that.
Well, you're never on hiatus.
How is that even right? possible?
I know.
Exactly.
My pen's in my pocket.
Next word. Beer boarding.
Beer boarding. Taking a coworker out to happy hour with the intention of getting them drunk and spilling their secrets.
Dirty.
We do it after the show.
I know. I thought we just called that gossip.
Literally, me teaching you the phrase. I have the tea, and you're like, what?
Yeah. I'm like, we have phrases for these things, guys. We don't need new words.
Spill the tea. Anyways, textual. Is the next word.
Textual.
When two people communicate solely via text messaging, or two, sending cryptic and flirty text messages.
Ew.
They're getting really
textual. And is that really not a word?
Textual. Each other.
Textual, yeah.
Should be.
Yeah. It's not a real word, but.
It doesn't sound like the real definition, but I feel like textual.
No. Textual is a word.
It is.
Yep.
It is a word.
It's the adjective form of text.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but it's just a different definition.
Right.
Textual reference.
Right, in context. They're changing the context.
Ah, I see.
All right, okay. And the last one?
Next one.
Braternal.
Braternal.
Wow. So rehearsal for Caitlin before the next
show.
So.
Yeah.
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 You gave me this list of words that aren't words that I need to pronounce.
Gee, now it sounds like you're catching on.
You are going to college, right?
Too little, too late.
Finally, we get to the last word, and she understands the assignment.
Yeah. Damn.
This is our university colleges at hard at work, folks. And what's the word again, Caitlin?
Braternal.
Braternal, yeah, braternal.
Braternal.
Braternal, all right, there we go. When you've known your bros for so long, they become an extension of your family.
Okay, I just, yeah.
Yep, that's Steve and I for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, braternal.
Oh, yeah.
We're braternal twins.
We're braternal twins. Yeah, definitely we are. There you go, guys. Not real words.
Damn, that mom
but
had
they
a
should
neighbor.
Be.
There you go. All righty.
Are we going into
No. We're at time right now, unfortunately.
Ah, so we're not even going to call the dentist, huh?
No, we won't have time.
Well, fine. Okay. Well, then we'll just go straight to the end.
Yeah, we will.
Straight to the end. Aw, this is cute. Cute.
Oh, you know what? I should do this.
What?
What? Is he getting the eight ball out again?
What's he doing?
What trying to get a guitar,
doing?
I imagine.
It's a beer bong.
That is not. Is that a tiny
hold
guitar?
On. What do we see? Okay, a box.
It's a box.
Two levers. Mandolin. Lever being unsnapped one.
Unsnapped two. Little guitar.
A mandolin. That's a tiny guitar, girl. Oh, my gosh.
Or it's a big
don't you
ukulele.
Get the
hand? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you see the curvature of the back?
Do they make a woman to Lynn?
Wow. I'm going to mute the rest of you, but Sean.
No, no,
no. What? Me too?
Good call. All right. Go ahead and crank the song real quick. Let's get play along with it here.
Who is it, baby? Who is he? And tell me what he means to you.
Wow, it's really out of tune.
Took it all for granted.
All right,
but
here
how
go.
Was I to know that you'd be letting go?
I can remember how to play it.
Now it cuts like a knife. But it feels so right.
Sean Roberts, ladies and gentlemen.
I fucked that one up. All right, guys. Here we go. Woo. Proof that I can play the mandolin a little bit there.
Mandolin.
Of course, I only know two songs on the mandolin, and that's the only reason why I bought it. All right, guys. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, find us on Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram, find us at Your Weekly Dose 1.
Find me, Steve Silva, on Facebook, at Silva Lining on Twitter, 69.
And I am on at Casey N. Summers. You might as well jump on over to Instagram because I am in jail for the next
yes!
month.
Yes!
See you guys in March. Or
April?
Yeah, April. But it's going to be like end of March.
Yeah. And my Instagram is Caitlin Ketstever or Ketstever Studios. Ketstever is spelled K-E-T-S-D-E-V-E-R.
Oh, sure. You can catch me on Twitter at OzDavis42. That's OzDavis42.
And if you want to catch me, Sean, anywhere on social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. I made it simple for everybody. Don't forget, guys, listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. You can catch all of our past shows there. And also on Lime City Radio at noon from Wednesday through Friday. And don't forget, guys, if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to tell all your friends about us because we can't grow without you. So help us spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your neighbor, tell your neighbor's dog. We dare you to do it. Until then.
Lizard we'll, or hamster?
And anything, yeah. Anything that listens, we don't mind.
You know, worm? How
was I? A worm.
All righty, guys. Until next time, we'll catch you next week. Be good to each other. Have a good one.
Hey, have a good one.
Move forward, world.
Move forward, jeez. Heart's still with Ukraine.
Crank the song. Yeah, it cuts like a knife. But it feels so right.
This week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.